Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One of the best in the business when it comes to baseball. Jason Stark is with us, the 2019 J.G. Taylor Spink Award winner. Congratulations on that, Jason.
Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. I was reading your article about your Hall of Fame ballot. It has always driven me crazy. I hate that there's a 10-man limit. If there are more than 10 Hall of Famers in your mind, you should be able to vote for more than 10 guys.
Yeah, I wish you were in charge. because the baseball writers a few years back asked the Hall of Fame if we could please change that. Like, here's all we're asking. We're not saying, we should induct 15 Hall of Famers a year, believe me. We're just saying that what we would like to do is look at the names on the ballot and be able to say, hey, was this guy a Hall of Famer? And if you thought yes, you should just be able to put yes. Vote yes or no, and not try to play these games where it often comes down to ballot management. If you think there are 11 or 12 Hall of Famers that you would like to vote for, but you've only got 10 spots, then you're just going through all these machinations that I personally don't think that's what the Hall of Fame would want us to go through, but we're stuck with it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you guys are kind of stuck with right now. Another one is the steroid guys, right? I know you voted for Bonds. You voted for. By the way, what makes no sense to me is there's at least a few people that voted for Clemens and not Bonds, or Bonds and not Clemens. How do you? I could understand, like, maybe voting for the. I would personally vote for all the steroid guys as long as I would vote for Sosa. But I understand the difference between like Bonds and Sosa or Clemens and Sosa. How do you vote for Clemens and not Bonds, or vice versa?
Yeah, I don't know. it really is incredible how closely they've tracked from the beginning. I mean, they appeared in the ballot the same year, and they're always within a vote or two, but never the same number.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I can't explain. I really can't explain it. Just like when people step into the voter's booth for the mayor's election, they've all got these different ideas in their head of why they vote the way they vote.
Yeah.
I mean, that's us, too. That's pretty much the way to explain it.
Sure. We're talking with Jason Stark. Indians fans will like his column because Jason, unlike 47% of the electorate, voted for Omar Vizquel. I have said very unpopularly, Jason, on the station, that I, if I had a vote, would not vote for Vizquel. It's weird. Like, Lee Smith's one of my all-time favorite players, but if I had a vote, I wouldn't have voted for him. But I'm glad he's in. And I feel the same way about Vizquel. I know I think he's going to get in eventually. I don't mind it. I wouldn't vote. I understand that Vizquel is one of the trickiest guys because he's one of the few guys left, Jason. Like, we don't really, guys getting in for defense just doesn't really happen anymore. He's one of the last hurrahs of those guys because he was, when people compare him to Ozzy was a generation before. So it's kind of a little strange, but a lot of the fans are going to be with you on this. So give me your thoughts on Omar here and why you voted yes on Omar.
Well, it's great to be talking to people that might actually agree with me because
yes.
I've been hearing mostly from people who think I'm an idiot since I wrote this column. And, you're exactly right that Omar is one of the most challenging candidates that I can remember. He's probably the Jack Morris candidate of his time, And I disagree with you that I'm convinced he's getting in.
Oh, really?
I tracked this yesterday, and you can find some of this in my Five Things We Learned from the Hall of Fame voting.
I did read that, too. Yeah.
And he's over 50%.
Yeah.
He got there in 3 years. You have to go back almost 50 years to find somebody who got to 50% after 3 years and didn't get elected. Gil Hodges was the last. So that would indicate, he's going to get in. But I do wonder, because he's such a polarizing candidate for the reasons that you just illustrated.
Yeah.
He really tough. I had not voted for him before this year because I didn't have room on my ballot. But here's the way I tried to describe it in the column I wrote. I feel like people are trying to use numbers that I respect, by the way, to try to convince me that my eyeballs didn't see what I thought they saw when I watched Omar Vizquel play. And I recognize he wasn't Ozzie Smith. I recognize that he didn't get to nearly the volume of balls that Ozzie got to, that his range factor isn't the same, isn't close, and that the defensive data tells us clearly he was not Ozzie Smith. But he was one of the most creative players I've ever watched play any position. He was the most sure-handed shortstop I think I've ever watched, who maybe has ever played. And you know, I did use a stat that I love, which is that since 1900, Omar Vizquel has had three seasons of at least 140 games played at short and no more than five errors. And all other shortstops combined have three.
Yeah.
So he has as many as all other shortstops combined. That's incredible, right? So, I mean, he did it for such a long time, won a gold glove at age 39. You combine that with 2,800 hits, I think there's a reason to vote for him. But I do understand why people don't.
We're talking with Jason Starr. Jason, a buddy of mine texted me last night, and he said, who is this? I won't use the word because he used an inappropriate word that I can't say on the air. Who is this guy who left Jeter off his Hall of Fame ballot? And I said, well, it's not literally, but I said, it's the same guy that left Greg Maddux off, or Ken Griffey Jr., or Chipper Jones, or Tomey, or Randy Johnson. We know Mariano got unanimous. I don't know why. You know, obviously, he deserved to be unanimous, same as all those guys I mentioned. For some reason, he was the only one that did. The guys who have in the past, and obviously we're not seeing it as much now, who said, well, nobody should go in the first ballot. What's your thought on those guys who have done that in the past?
Well, we don't know why this voter voted the way he or she voted.
Yeah.
We don't know who it is. We probably will never know who it is. I'm actually resigned to not knowing who it is. It'll just be one of those great mysteries in the universe, like Stonehenge.
Yeah. Right. Know?
But people have left off various players, various legends, for all sorts of reasons. There was no doubt that we went through a period where there was some old fogey kind of voter who said, if Lou Gehrig wasn't unanimous and Babe Ruth wasn't unanimous and Ty Cobb wasn't unanimous, then nobody should be unanimous. Therefore, I'm not going to vote for anybody the first time. And like that was actually a thing for at least 50 years.
Yeah.
But we've been gravitating away from that. I was thinking that maybe that Mariano would have finally killed off this tradition, the dumbest tradition ever. Yesterday we found that differently. Now, I got all kinds of theories about this. You know, it could have been a Giambi brother. I don't know who voted, but it's also possible that it's somebody in that quandary that you described earlier, the rule of 10.
Yeah.
That he had 11 players he wanted to vote for. He knew Derek Jeter was getting in. He thought, well, I'd rather make sure that my player stays on the ballot than vote for Derek Jeter. He's going to get in with or without me. So there could be that reasoning. I just feel like we shouldn't vote that way. There's no logical reason not to vote for Derek Jeter. And I mean, if this person ever reveals themselves, good luck to him.
We're talking with Jason Stark, one of the best baseball writers out there. Jason, you know, I can't remember the name of the committee. I keep wanting to say the Veterans Committee. What's it called again now?
Well, it changes every year.
Yeah, right.
This year was the Modern Era Committee.
Right. When they put in guys like, you know, when they put in Ted Simmons, and I always hate saying like a guy's not, like when I say, oh, I wouldn't vote for Omar, it's like, people make it think like, oh, you think he's terrible. No, I think he's really good. I just don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know. When you see like Ted Simmons, Harold Baines, what was your thoughts on some of the guys that have recently been put in, you know, in that avenue?
Well, I mean, let me say a couple things. First of all, it's okay to disagree. You know,
sure.
When people disagree with my ballot, my answer is, you're supposed to. It's one of the things that's great about sports and great about the whole Hall of Fame process. I'm not wild about the people who think they've put in way more time and thought on this than me. I guarantee that's not true.
Yeah.
I've thought about it way more than any sane person should have thought about it. And there's no such thing as a right ballot, wrong ballot. There's just my ballot.
Sure.
But I think it's safe to say this, that the mistakes that have been made, the players who got into the Hall of Fame that you look back and you think, boy, that guy probably is not a Hall of Famer. Most of them have not been made by the writers. They've been made by these various permutations of the Veterans Committee,
right.
And there's nothing much we can do about it. I've been a member of the Modern Era Committee. I was a member of the committee that elected Marsh and Trammell a couple of years ago.
Right.
And so I have a feel for why those committees exist. You know, there's a reason to have players who had great careers have their credentials reexamined by a group with a different perspective. And, you know, like when Marvin Miller gets in, that to me is proof that the system works. When Alan Trammell gets in, that's proof that the system works. There are times when certain players get in when it's a proof that whoever's in the room can influence other people in the room. And the next thing you know, you got a Hall of Famer that probably doesn't belong there. So it doesn't always work. But the process and the philosophy behind it makes sense to me.
I'm curious, Jason, it's a great point about Kurt Schilling. You know, it would be tricky for me. Like, if I were a voter, I would struggle with Kurt Schilling because I think his what he did on the field, I think especially the postseason, puts him over the top. But I'm so horrified. It's not about politics. It's way beyond politics when it comes to Kurt Schilling. It's, you know, wearing a shirt about hanging reporters and having Nazi memorabilia. It's way over the top stuff that would make it hard for me to want to vote for him. You know, some of this stuff is like, but then in the end, I'd say, well, it's baseball. You know, there's a lot of guys who have done egregious things in baseball. I think he should be in there. So, you know, what do you think about that? How challenging is that?
Adam, you know, I don't know if you saw Kurt's interview with Bob Costas on MLB Network, but he even admitted that his wife would be heavily in favor of him deleting, suspending his Twitter account, never tweeting again. So
right.
He knows he's gone way beyond where he should go, and I think you're exactly right. It's cost him votes.
Yeah.
I just try to explain it this way. It's not the Hall of Twitter.
Yeah.
It's the
true.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We're talking about stuff that he's done long past his playing career. And when I vote on Kurt Schilling, the pitcher, he's easy. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, I don't know where you want me to start.
Yeah,
but
no, I think you're right. I would vote for him in the end, even as appalled as I am.
Leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably the greatest postseason pitcher of his time.
Yeah,
a guy who loved the big moment, and really could easily have won 3 Cy Youngs in 4 years. Except for historic seasons by Randy Johnson twice and Johan Santana once. And if he's a 3-time Cy Young winner, we're not even having this debate, are we?
No. I agree. It's a great point. Jason, I know you got to go, but real quick, and I'm sorry to keep you so long, I just wanted your thoughts on the Indians real quick. You know, the team's been so good, even with a lower payroll, they've been competitive year after year after year, but they have dressed, and then we still have some time, but they have significantly cut the payroll down about 50, 60 million from a couple of years ago, at least 30 million from last year. I hate what they've done here. Again, I'll give them a chance because it's still a little time. Maybe they'll make a trade. Who knows? Maybe they'll sign Castellanos or Puig and surprise us. I doubt it, but who knows? What do you think of their offseason at this point?
Well, it's hard to make a case that they're better than the Twins.
Right.
I don't know how you could. And even with subtracting Corey Kluber, I think they'll outpitch the Twins, but there's really no comparison between lineups now. And it's discouraging for those of us who really admire the people who run the Indians, the manager of the Indians,
yeah.
What they've done, the way they've done it, that revenue is such an issue, and they're just one of the most revenue challenged teams in the whole sport now. It's having a big impact, and I don't know if there's any other way to analyze it, because if you gave Chris Antonetti and that front office money, we know what they do with it.
That's right.
They don't have any.
Very frustrating for the fans. Jason, thank you so much for all your time. Great work as always. Love reading your stuff. You're the best. Thank you so much.
Adam, enjoyed it, man. Thanks so much for having me.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.